Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy for Saturday, October 12th. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, on the second Saturday of each month. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. I know a little about that myself, as I have had 10 careers. I started out as a fashion model, then I was a rock and roll singer. I've been a corporate consultant, an adjunct professor, and today I'm a professional speaker, author, coach, blogger, and radio show host. So let's set the tone for today's program. Sonia Coquette, spiritual teacher and author, said, "So often we wait for the climate and conditions in life to be perfect before we feel safe enough to step forward, trust, and be our authentic selves. What we don't realize is that in order to create the ideal climate we are waiting for, we must be authentic first." Today's show is brought to you by budgetpreneur.com. If you find that you have very little money to invest in your business and yet still need money to get things done, well, stop putting those things off. Go to budgetpreneur.com. They provide the resources and tools to help you manage your business, save money, and increase revenues. Visit www.budgetpreneur.com and become a member today. Oh, and by the way, if you're listening online and calling to ask a question, please mute your computer first. The number to call is 646-381-4198. Speaking of careers, we have a fantastic show for you today. Our topic is repurpose your career or make a career pivot. See, many baby boomers want to change, but they realize that you can't just leap from one life to another. You need a series of pivots, like in basketball. It's a move that keeps one foot firmly planted while the other swings forward. You can move forward to your new career in small, practical steps that land you where you want to be. You don't have forever to get there. You can do assessment tests to uncover what you truly need to be happy. Autonomy, respect, creativity, and focus your goals. This will help you discover the choices that brought you to your crossroads and identify new choices that will bring you to a much more satisfying career. But before we get into this content I just described, let me introduce you to today's guest. Our guest this month is Mr. Mark Miller. Let me tell you about him. Mark Miller's career journey started many, many years ago. It included 22 years at IBM, several thriving startup tech companies, a painful stint as a high school teacher, a gig raising funds for the Jewish Community Association of Austin, and a near-fatal bicycle accident that changed his perspective forever. 30 years of wandering the proverbial career desert, often repeating the same mistakes over and over, taught him his most crucial lesson, which he will share in today's program. You can learn more about Mark at www.careerpivot.com. Welcome, Mark.
Well, thank you, Yvonne. Thank you for having me on your show.
I'm so glad you're here. But I want to begin by asking, what was the impetus behind starting your business and writing your book?
Well, as I say in your introduction, I 10 years ago, I had a near-fatal bicycle accident. I hit a car head-on at 50 miles an hour. And I then went off and taught high school math, did nonprofit fundraising, did another startup. And during that time, I got involved with a group called Launchpad Job Club, which is a job networking group that supports mostly white-collar unemployed. And what I saw was so many behind who were doing the same thing I had done were being thrown out in the street, 25, 30 years in the business, and suddenly going, "I don't know how to go find a job. By the way, I don't even know why I'm doing what I'm doing." And I'm a little bit behind you, Yvonne. I've only had 7 career changes. And what I always found was, is I went, okay, people kept on asking me, how did I do that? And so the book, largely what's behind the book was to document what I had done and reflecting back on how did I do it? And more importantly, what mistakes had I made? Because I made a bunch of them, and I did them over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so the idea was I wanted to write down my experience because I found that I was seeing so many in our generation who are going to end up going through this.
Yes, a lot of people are going through this, and some of them are stuck because they've been doing what they've been doing for so many years, and they feel as though that's all they know. And often I'll ask them, well, what do you like? What do you want to do? And sometimes they can't even tell me that. Or I ask, what are your strengths? Let's start there. And they can't even tell you that. They've been on that treadmill so long, you know. They haven't spent time thinking about themselves. They've been thinking about the company, for example, or the project they're working on. So they find it very hard to do that pivot. And by the way, what's the meaning behind your company name, Career Pivot?
Well, when I look back on all my career changes, every one of the changes I've made, I refer to as a half-step career change, i.e., I had 1 foot in the old world, 1 foot in the new world, and there was always a relationship that took me across. In other words, I never did it by myself. There was always someone there who knew who I was, knew my values, and were willing to take a chance on me. And so the idea here is largely many of us, you know, you talked about a lot of us, we've developed a lot of skills in our careers. We don't even know we developed those skills because our employers wanted us to develop those skills. They may or may not be at all tied to what our talents are. In fact, I've had multiple clients who we've talked about, well, what are your talents? And they go, I really don't know. And so going back and understanding, and so getting to where you want to go, identifying it, may not be, boom, you're there. It may be a set of pivots.
Right.
And sometimes it's very small. I've had a number of clients where we've just fixed certain things in their work environment, and their lives change pretty dramatically.
Yeah.
Others, it's, okay, I want to go off and do something different. It's identifying what is and how do we get there. But it's the first choice is, who am I and what things do I have to change, quote, make, what pivots do I have to make over a very, could be over a long period of time to get me where I want to be.
Right. Exactly. But first you have to know yourself.
You have to know who you are. And to put it bluntly, most of us have forgotten who we are.
How is that possible?
Well, we walked into corporate America, and we learned to behave the way corporate America taught us how to behave. So I'll give you an example. I have an HR executive I've worked with. And one of the things he's learned to do is he's learned to be very direct. That is what got him ahead. Well, you know what? He has a CEO who's right in his face right now, and he hates it. Well, people treat you the way you behave.
Exactly.
And
they also treat you the way you teach them to treat you.
Right. And when you start morphing your behaviors, and to the extent that people start treating you back the way you behave, and suddenly, well, why do I do that? Well, because it got you ahead. It's what was expected. And
right.
I've got any number of clients who just, they've morphed their behaviors over time and made themselves miserable.
Absolutely.
They don't know who they are.
because sometimes the company's culture has morphed them into something that they're not. You know,
right.
I worked for a Big Five consulting firm once, and they were I was changing to match the consulting firm's environment, and I remember coming home one day, and my husband said, "Who are you? What do you think you're doing?" And
right.
and here's the thing, I didn't even realize that the change had come home with me. That my changing myself, I came home and I was changed at home as well.
Correct, because one of the things is in our age demographic, and I'm in my late 50s, we were raised to be employees, and we were told that we were going to go work for father-like companies that would take care of us. There was no concept of, well, go to work and follow your passion. It was work. And we went to work. And what happened is...
We put our nose to the grindstone.
Right. And we, in that, in working for these large corporations, we morphed ourselves to fit what they wanted us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I am fortunate. I'm kind of a chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to adapt. But I've got any number of clients right now who are in working for large corporations that are miserable, and they don't.
Oh.
They've kind of taken themselves. Well, I'll put it this way: they are the square pegs, and they have fit into the round holes.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've been successful, but they've made themselves miserable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know exactly what you mean. I know quite a few of those people myself. In fact, I did a program recently. I won't name the company. I did a program in their boardroom, and at the end of the program, a young person, not a baby boomer, a young person came to me and said, "You know what I just figured out from this program? I realized that I have no joy in my life. None. All I do is work. And I think I'm going to go do something about that." But he didn't even realize it. He was just continuing to, you know, working home and working home and working home. And so when it was time for him to say, "What are the things I do for fun?" he couldn't think of anything.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't do anything for fun. It's all work-related. And that can make you very, very sad. So, and for a baby boomer, they've been doing that for a very, very long time. Remember, back when baby boomers hit the marketplace, there wasn't any such thing as the term work-life balance.
No, the Gen Xers created the work-life balance, the concept.
Exactly. So baby boomers are used to that. And I like that article that you wrote where you said, even if you can retire, you shouldn't.
Correct.
And why was that again?
Well, the fact is, We were expected, you know, we thought we were going to work 30 or 40 years and then go off and retire, just like our parents did.
Right.
Well, when our parents retired, well, they were going to live into their 70s.
Yes.
Now, I have an insurance guy who gave me the statistic that if you're a married couple in 65, there is a 72% chance that one of you will live past 100.
Wow, that's
wonderful. A lot of us are going to live into our 90s. So
mm-hmm.
one of the things that I started doing was focusing on baby boomers, was because we're going to live a long past 65. The reality is most of our generation doesn't have enough money to say, well, I don't have to work for the next 35 years.
That's true.
You know, I'm sorry, you don't have enough money. The second piece is, the fact is, the longer you work, the longer you will live.
That's very true.
You need a purpose. Now, the challenge when you tell most people the fact that, well, geez, you're not going to be able to retire at 65, the answer comes back, that ticks me off. Because our concept was we put up with jobs and careers that we hated. And there was always that light at the end of the tunnel, the ship on the horizon, that when we got there, we were going to be able to stop.
Right.
So my goal and one of my mantras is I don't ever plan to retire.
Me neither, not 100%.
Well, I want to work less at something I love.
Right. Right. I want to work less at something I love. And actually, statistics have shown that those who retire and actually retire, they die pretty quickly because their life has no purpose.
That's right. And so my goal, as I said, I started looking at baby boomers. In fact, I hired a college kid to do some research for me. And because I was seeing, this was back in 2010, I was seeing a lot of articles about baby boomers, and they were pretty disjoint. And so I said, okay, let's do some research. Let's go collect the data. The numbers he came back with weren't bad. They were god-awful.
What do you mean?
Well, the average baby boomer has less than $80,000 saved for retirement. 42% have less than $25,000. 25% have nothing.
Oh, dear Lord. Nothing.
Approximately 4 out of every 5 baby boomers will not retire as planned.
Well,
now, I ran
right.
the numbers with my financial advisor that said if you're a married couple, 65, with good Social Security, both of you have worked full careers and you're at 65, you're going to get Social Security, and you both plan to live to 100, the amount of money you need to have saved is probably on the order of $800,000.
Yeah, I was thinking at least $500,000.
To be safe, it's closer to $1 million.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Right? So how many people have that? Like 3%.
I don't know. I don't know very many who do. What was the percentage?
Right? My guess is somewhere between 2 to 3% have that kind of money saved up. It's
pretty
small.
Right.
Now,
so that takes me right into my next question.
Sure.
Which is, what are the biggest issues facing baby boomers as they approach 65? Because to me, that would be one of the issues, right?
Well, correct. The challenges we have is, number one, we don't have enough money. Two, we have grown up with the employee mentality.
Right.
Now, right now, rather interesting, entrepreneurship among baby boomers is exploding.
Good.
Because what's happened is, particularly in the over 60, in the first phase baby boomers, if you get laid off and you're over 60, the odds of you finding another job are bleak. What's happening is these people may have $100,000, $200,000 in their 401ks, and they're going, I don't have enough money to retire on. Let's go start a business.
Right.
That might be buying existing business. One of the things that's occurring is franchising, and that is exploding. And so I'm going, okay, I can't. Now, the challenge is it takes a mindset change.
From employee to owner.
Correct. In fact, I'm going to do a blog post this in the coming weeks on what are the myths. And so one of the this is difficult for us. Now, rather interesting, entrepreneurship among the traditional 25 to 35-year-old generation is collapsing. It's called student loan debt.
Oh, my.
Right? So, because the kids coming out of college are so saddled with student loan debt that they can't afford to take risks, which is sad. What we're going to see is we're going to see a huge number of baby boomers who are not going to be able to retire. Now, we are seeing a huge surge in people taking Social Security at age 62. Almost half of everybody applying for Social Security right now is at 62, 63. And
wow.
A lot of them are doing it because they have to. And so long term, we're going to see, and the reason why I focused on baby boomers was because I didn't see anybody else. And it's only,
yeah,
in fact, go ahead.
I was going to say, the other thing, though, is if you're going to become an entrepreneur and owner instead of an employee, you need good health. You need health. You need to be healthy.
Well, there was an article put out by Fidelity that basically said if a married couple, 65, on average of the rest of your life, you're going to spend $250,000 on health care for the couple. Also, if you are in your 50s, if you do not focus on your health, your earning power goes down and your later cost of health care goes up. So as someone in your 50s, the number one thing you can invest in for your retirement is in your own health. Get healthy. Eat right. Get the blood pressure down. Get off the prescription drugs.
Oh, no, thanks. Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And that's something that we aren't focused on as a generation. And so it's a huge issue facing baby boomers is in the fact that we're going to live longer and we need to take care of ourselves.
Maybe they'll go back to living in communes, huh?
Well, it's kind of like my wife and I, our son turned into a decent human being and got off my payroll. And we downsized, and I'm to the point where I do not want to spend any more money on stuff.
Oh,
I will spend money on experiences, but I don't need any more stuff. We downsized into a much smaller condo. We sold the house. We walked
we
to a lot of places.
We did the same thing this
right.
year. Yeah, we downsized. We gave everything away, sold it or gave it away. Yeah.
Yes. So
it was just all stuff.
Yes. And a part of it is our generation is we have been growing up to focus on stuff.
Yes, that's very true. And not to focus on saving.
That's right. So the goal here is the issues is we need to go back and reevaluate what, number one, retirement is not going to look like it was for our parents. We have
That's
to focus
true.
Back on ourselves. We have to focus on what do we need versus what we want.
There's a problem. I mean, we're running down the clock here, but still, there's a problem that just popped into my head, which is that a lot of boomers' children are moving back home.
Well, I
you know,
solved
you
that
said your son got off the payroll.
Well, I solved that. There is no bedroom for him to boomerang back into.
Yeah, I was talking about that with my class just yesterday. There's no bedroom. Your bedroom's gone. We don't have that extra room. We've downsized, so you're going to have to grow up and get out.
Right. And so the challenge we have when we were growing up, we never dreamed of going back and living with our parents.
Never.
But we raised our kids in so many, I call it an echo effect. We went to work. We told our kids to go follow your passion.
Actually, that's very true.
So we see all these echo effects. In fact, I'm doing a talk this next week called The Multi-Generational Workplace, Why Can't We All Get Along? And when you look at each generation, there are all these echo effects that have occurred.
Yes.
And so our children are coming back, and we're saying, come on. Well, I'm not. A lot of them are saying, come on back in.
Yes. Yes, I actually know that very well because I created a train-to-trainer program called Communicating and Working Effectively with Five Generations in the Workplace.
Right.
So I've studied the five generations extensively,
yes.
And I know exactly what you mean. Tell me about your future plans for Career Pivot.
Well, I have the book Repurpose Your Career, A Practical Guide for Baby Boomers, which is available on Amazon. We are going to do a second edition of that, starting in probably the middle of 2014. My goal is to do a new edition approximately every 18 months with new stories, new worksheets. I'll be adding a number of new worksheets to the next edition. I will be launching in the first quarter. I have a webinar series, which I piloted last year. I haven't launched it yet, but it will get launched early in 2014, called The Cure for Career Insanity.
I like it.
In other words, insanity, you know, Albert Einstein said was doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result each time.
Yes.
Well, that's what we do with our careers.
Yes.
And by the way,
yes,
if I leave a job today because of a bad boss or whatever reason, if I don't solve that problem, I'll run into it again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so it's understanding, why do I want to leave? Where do I want to go? How do I ask for what I want? How do I answer the question, why do you want to leave your current job, and not answer the question but say, where do you want to go? And then how to negotiate for what you want. And it's not about money.
Really, what's
it's a holistic. It's most of the time, it's all the other things that cause us to leave jobs. So, do you want to work from home? Do you want to work in the office? Do you need time with your kids? Do you need time for, more importantly, I've had several clients here recently who need time with their elderly parents.
That's
do you want to
true,
bring your dog into the office? What do you want? And the reality is, if you negotiate those first, you usually can get them.
You usually can get them. That's true. You usually can get them because lots of them aren't necessarily funding type issues. It's permission based.
Correct. Correct.
Having the ability to do that.
And the point here is to ask for what you want, but you got to know what you want. So
you have to have negotiation skills too. So it's not enough to ask.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't have negotiation skills.
But they can learn them.
But they can learn them. That's very, very
true.
Right. That's very, very
true. And so, we're going to grow. We made the Forbes Top 100 Career website list last month.
Oh, congratulations!
Yes, when you make a list with 100 websites, which includes people like LinkedIn, Twitter, Career Builder, Monster, Dice, U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics. And then there's a little old me. So we're going to be offering, I'm going to be moving into group offerings in 2014. So a lot more coming as we continue to expand Career Pivot.
That's wonderful. So my question is, we're almost out of time, but do you have any final words for our listeners?
Yeah. Go visit my blog. Go visit my website. One of the things I blog twice a week, Mondays and Wednesdays.
What is the name of your blog and where do they find it?
They go to careerpivot.com.
Okay.
And what you'll find is I also, on that page, on the website, there is something called Boomer Job Tips that is being updated with curated content from around the internet. It gets updated between 5 and 8 times a day. And it's all automated and picking up from Forbes, from nextavenue.org, which is PBS's site, from Harvard Business Review, from Boston College's retirement website, picked up from around the web, is constantly being updated. And come back and visit me at careerpivot.com.
Wonderful. Thank you very, very much for the wonderful interview, Mark. And thanks
You're
to all
welcome.
Of you for listening to the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois, and I'll see you next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Until then, I'll leave you with this thought for the day by Oliver Wendell Holmes. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. Remember to always join us on the second Saturday. And in the meantime, visit us online at blogtalkradio.com/Yvonne-F-Brown to share your comments about today's show. While there, become a friend of the show and use the comment box to provide us with some feedback on today's show, which was marvelous. Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us today. If you have a topic that you would like to learn more about, please send it to me at yvonne@yvonnefbrown.com. You may also use the contact page at www.yvonnefbrown.com.
YvonneF, as in Fred, BROWN.com, YvonneFBrown.com, to share your comments about today's program or to ask me a question. Until next time, this is Yvonne Brown saying, each day you have the opportunity to get out there on life's playing field or sit on the sidelines. It's always more rewarding to get in the game and play.